Send me an angel.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that sees the shape of a gerbil in the side of the hill. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Seth, Lizard King Frumpkin.
This is the end for you.
Aaron, the director, Rogers.
I saved Latin. What did you ever do?
And Bridget, logistically difficult baking enthusiast, Vance.
This is not a democracy. It's a triviocracy, and I'm overruling you.
Hello, hello to all, and welcome to the Season 5 finale here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, where our fifth Super Mondo Champion of Champions will be determined. Making it all possible with us here today is the guy who tallies the points and updates the gradebook. It's the professor himself, Scoremaster Dan Cassino. Hello to you, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I got an email this week asking if we actually were filming in a stadium. And so I do need to clarify that, of course, we are filming in a stadium. If we didn't have a real stadium facility, what would all the interns be doing? I should own up to the fact, though, that the crab puffs are not real. It's just some kind of fried dough. There's no actual crab involved.
Well, the guy who really manages the bits around here is the guy who handles the bits of data. It's audio wizard extraordinaire, production master Dave. Hi there, Dave.
This man will not let you have your way. He's your boss, and you have to do as he tells you.
Well, Dave might be the boss around here, but there's no point in any of that bossiness without anyone to come play with us. We may be ramping up for season 6 in a couple weeks, but we're already looking forward to future seasons. Are you someone who listens to the show and thinks to yourself, you know, I'd be good at that. I'm knowledgeable about movies and TV and stuff. I'm charismatic. I'm personable. I would be great on this show. So if that's you, you should throw your hat in the ring and play here in the big leagues. Head on over to usaquizshow.com/apply to fill out our contestant application, and we may very well get in contact with you about participating here on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Again, that is usaquizshow.com/apply. We'll see if our players can apply their skills to the first game of today, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our contestants today has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture. But we pick the battle those champions are fighting. Math teacher and Nearpod enthusiast Seth Frumpkin, who is your champion today?
Representing my hometown of Baltimore, Maryland, it's Omar Little from The Wire, played by the late, great Michael K. Williams.
And our new resident expert on movies with the word I and or bad in the title, Aaron Rodgers, who is your champion today?
My champion is Farmer Hoggett from Babe.
And a haver of too many jobs and possibly too many children, Bridget Vance, who is your champion?
I have selected Dr. Perry Cox, as played by John C. McGinley on Scrubs.
All right, three gruff masculine champions here today. I'm going to serve as the judge, so I think it's time to spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who's gonna best slay the dragon? Seth, why is Omar from The Wire gonna be the best at slaying the dragon?
Well, as we know, Omar is like the Robin Hood of the Baltimore City streets, robbing from the drug dealers to maybe give to people in need, or maybe just, you know, use it for himself. He definitely has fighting experience, so he can take his guns, his rifle, or shotgun rather, and go at the dragon with the shotgun. And when you come at the king, you best not miss.
Thank you, Seth. Now, Aaron, how about Farmer Hoggett from Babe?
Well, we know that Farmer Hoggett knows animals, and we know that he knows how to engage in physical labor. He's a farmer. He keeps the farm running every day. He's tall. He's strong. He's calm. He wouldn't get flustered by the dragon breathing fire at him or otherwise trying to scare him. We also know that he's ready to kill animals. He was ready to kill Babe when he thought Babe had hurt that sheep. So I don't think he would have any problem taking care of a dragon if the situation presented itself.
Thank you, Aaron. And Bridget, how about Dr. Cox from Scrubs?
Well, one thing we definitely know about Dr. Cox is that he's pretty fearless. So I can't see him being scared or intimidated by a dragon. He also is really good at slaying people and possibly animals and mythical creatures with his words. He could just pretend it's JD and, you know, go to town calling it all kinds of girl names, which we, of course, wouldn't do in a sitcom today. But also, I mean, the man works in a hospital. He has access to scalpels. He has access to medications that could assist in his murder of said dragon. So I think that he has a variety of methods available to him and definitely the gumption to get it done.
Three fantastic arguments, but it's up to me to determine the winner. Seth, with your argument, absolutely, just the sort of stable of weaponry that's available to Omar is going to be helpful. Sometimes it's hard to know the effectiveness of firearms against a dragon. Those two things aren't often in the same pop culture property. So a little bit of sort of dubious fogginess on there. When it comes to Farmer Hoggett, I got to throw this one out right away. Just calmness in the face of danger. I don't think the dragons are really going to be affected by that at all. Much as I do love Farmer Hoggett's change of heart, so much to the point where actor James Cromwell became a lifelong vegetarian after being in that movie. It's not really going to help in terms of slaying the dragon. So this one definitely, if only for the alternate interpretation of the word slay, has got to go to Bridget. Dr. Cox can slay anything or anyone with his words, and this is a slam dunk for performing some sort of slaying against a dragon of any kind. So today's My Champion winner is Dr. Cox and Bridget.
Yay!
Bridget, this means you get a chance at the half point. Answer this question correct, and you will have exactly 1/2 point to your name to start off the game. Here is the half point question. It's our fifth season finale, so we're asking, in what show's fifth season finale, which doubled as the series finale, does the title character end the episode by saying, "Well, personally, I kind of want to slay the dragon. Let's go to work."
I have no idea, so I'm going to say it was Game of Thrones. Send me an
angel. That was the final line of dialogue from the spinoff to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel. Now, you may have missed the half point, Bridget, but you still get to go first in round one, U.S. City the Musical. We all know that Chicago is the best movie musical with a U.S. city's name for its title. But what if other municipally named movies were musicals as well? In this game, you'll hear a short snippet of a song about a movie with the name of a U.S. city somewhere in its title. You name the movie. The catch? Every song you hear will borrow its melody from the musical Chicago, but have new lyrics. For example, if you heard this song,
he had it coming, he had it coming. Kidnap his wife was all he had. In Minnesota and North Dakota, ineptitude made his crime go bad.
You'd know that song was about the movie
Fargo.
Fargo, yes. And get it right after the song alone, and you will get 10 points. If you need a hint, I can give you 2 stars of the movie you're guessing, at which point the answer becomes 5 points. Bridget, our My Champion winner, we're going to start with you. Here's your first musical example.
She's in the east, he's in the west. An affair to remember is what she loves best. They'll meet up high the day of Saint Valentine.
I believe that is Sleepless in Seattle.
Correct for 10. Over to Seth.
Dirty cops are always on the take. In neon noir, I know that one girl looks just like Veronica Lake. It's neon noir. Through the ranks, Ed Exley's gonna climb, and then he'll finally solve Rolo Tomasi's crime. And if you're gonna blush, we'll keep it real hush-hush in this knee. Oh, noir.
Really lending itself to a musical. That's L.A. Confidential.
Absolutely, for 10. Next example to Aaron.
Out in California, south of Santa Cruz, kill a friend of Axel's, Axel's chasing you. drugs in an art gallery. That's a clever ruse. You can't hide from Axel. Axel's busting you.
Could I get a hint, please?
A movie starring Eddie Murphy and Judge Reinhold.
Oh, is that Beverly Hills Cop?
Correct for 5. Back over to Bridget for your next Chicago musical example.
I'm gonna go to that World's Fair. I'm gonna be Esther. I'll take that clanging trolley there, 'cause I'm the great Esther. But while I live with my family, they are planning to move to New York. But Warren might propose to Rose, and then John can finally pop my cork.
Sorry. excuse me. Is that Meet Me in St. Louis?
Yes, with Judy Garland. Over to Seth.
When I'm driving through the hot Southwest, my brain is really messed. That's just because all I care about is drugs. That's what the beer's for. All the people look like lizards now. I'm gambling, but I don't know how. Writing is great, but all I care about is drugs.
All he cares about is drugs.
That would be Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Correct for another 10.
How much are we paying these backup singers?
Yeah, we should also give a quick thank to the Taylor Cole backup singers for providing the voices for that track.
I don't remember that in the budget, but I'm happy we did it.
Next up, over to Aaron.
Give them a new outdoor boys camp from the government. Reeling against those dirty politics, I won't end up on no one's crucifix. Give them the old filibuster, just keep boring them. Why can't they see this damn project is fraud?
Is that Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
A strong answer from Aaron will take us into our first score update from Score Master Dan.
All of our players are doing very well. I think we should also credit Taylor Cole and the Taylor Cole backup singers for providing such clear clues to everybody. Right now, Aaron has 15 points. Seth and Bridget are tied with 20. They're both perfect so far.
Well, let's see if we can make it a little more difficult in the back half of the game. This next one is for Bridget.
Look at my meat shop and me. Masking my illegal activity. Screw the dead rabbits, I'm in with Boss Tweed. There's violent joints in these 5 points, but throwing knives are all I need.
sorry, guys. Is that Gangs of New York?
Yes, the little Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York. Over to Seth.
And then those country singers sang it all down. Linnea hooks up with Tommy Brown, all in that big Tennessee town. Now the politics are rocking, to the music they're all flocking, but still no one's ever talking alone.
A movie I've never seen, even though I'm sure I should, but I'm gonna guess that that's Nashville.
Yes, from 1975. Over to Aaron.
Catch that train, gotta catch that train. Keep you in that chain and put you on that train. 'Cause you can steal my cattle, posses will battle. I'll die to get you there.
I have a guess and I'm trying to decide if I should go for it or if I should get a hint, but I'm gonna guess 310 to Yuma.
Good job going for it. 310 to Yuma is correct. Last song for each player. See if they can keep up their hot streak. This one is for Bridget.
You'll attend the business conference. You can show up there alone. You're in love with your old teacher, but mess around with Joan. So it's weird. Iowa's bad. Iowa's fun. Iowa's sad. Iowa's where cheating wins. Insurance games.
Okay. All the films I can think of with cities in Iowa in them. I'll do the hint, please.
A movie starring Ed Helms and Anne Heche.
This appears to be just a black hole in my brain. I will go with Des Moines.
Aaron knows this one?
I think it's Cedar Rapids.
Yes, also starring Chicago's own John C. Reilly. Next for Seth.
Whatever happened to nice weddings and soul suitors and Dex Haven? And Tracy's more than just some high society lass. On George and Mike, she will pass.
I'm gonna take a hint.
Starring Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant.
Philadelphia Story?
Yes, for 5 points. And we'll close out round one with one last song for Aaron.
Where's your station? In South Florida. What you do there? Mostly drug busts. Undercover. In go fast boats. One more thing I must disclose. I'm quite the fiend for mojitos.
Is that Miami Vice?
Yes, the 2006 movie version of Miami Vice. Well, that'll do it for round one. Next up, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Happy New Year, listeners. It's 2022. So the whole month of January in the Empty Studio episodes over on our Patreon is going to look back at the pop culture year of 2021. This Friday, our Patreon listeners are going to get a bonus game called Micro Melodies of the Moment, all about the music of 2021. Relive the sounds of last year by naming the hit song from 2021 from a 1, 3, or 5 second snippet. Stick around later in the month for TV and movie games of the year past. Where can you get all this? At usaquizshow.com/membership to subscribe to this and all of our past Empty Studio episodes.
Going to round two, it's time for the Who Farted score break. Who farted? You know, I like that. 8 out of 10. That's a pretty good one. I like that. Short, to the point. Makes Dave laugh. That's what we're going for. At this point, Aaron and Seth are tied for the lead with 35 points. Bridget played us all. Missed her last question, so she winds up with 30 points. That means she'll get to go first in round two.
I'm still laughing at Who Farted. I'm sorry. That does mean, though. Very serious now. It does mean, though, that we need to get to the Threequalizer. Bridget, you're going to get the chance to make up some ground with our Threequalizer question. It's a question that has 3 possible answers. You get 3 guesses to match as many of them as you can, with 10 points for each correct match. Here is your Threequalizer question. Rapper Slim Thug released a 2005 song entitled Like a Boss, which was parodied in a Lonely Island digital short on Saturday Night Live. Name the 3 people who founded the Lonely Island.
I have Andy Samberg and nothing else for you.
The other 2 members of the Lonely Island are named Yorma Taccone and Akiva Schaffer, the 2 co-directors of pop star Never Stop Never Stopping, starring Andy Samberg. But since they did Like a Boss, that's going to take us into our round 2, Like a Boss. In modern workplaces, we all strive for healthy separation between bosses and employees. But when it comes to TV bosses, we're taking that separation even further. In this game, I'll ask about a show where one character is another's boss. But instead of the names of the characters on the show, I'll give you the names of other characters played by those same actors. For example, if I asked what's the TV show where Brick Tamland is Jack Ryan's boss, you'd know that that TV show was...
The Office.
Because those characters are played by Steve Carell and John Krasinski in other properties. If you need a hint, I'll drop the character names and instead give you the names of the two actors referenced in the original question. Then, once we know the show, I'll ask about a different show or movie where the boss actor from the first part had another boss themselves. 20 points for naming the show with a boss relationship before the hint, just 10 points after the hint, and 10 more for a correct follow-up. We're going to start this round off with Bridget. What's the show if John Becker is Larry Flint's boss?
So John Becker is Larry Flint's boss. So I believe we're talking about, Cheers. Am I right?
Okay. Absolutely. Cheers for the full 20. John Becker being played by Ted Danson on Becker and Larry Flint, Woody Harrelson from The People versus Larry Flint. Still for Bridget, though, now what's the show if Mark Evan Jackson is Ted Danson's boss?
I don't know, so I will just guess and say The Good Place.
Yes, with Mark Evan Jackson as head demon Sean. Next up, over to Seth. What's the show where Howard Stark is Reverend Richard Wayne Gary Wayne's boss?
Oh, I was thinking of the wrong Howard Stark because he was played by two different actors. So the one that we're using is John Slattery, and then Reverend Richard Wayne, Gary Wayne, if I don't know, confusing, but I think I said it right, is from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and it's John Hamm. So that would be Mad Men.
All the pieces right there with Howard Stark from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, Seth, what's the movie if Terrence Stamp is John Slattery's boss?
I have no idea. Pass.
An underappreciated Philip K. Dick adaptation, that's The Adjustment Bureau, with Terrence Stamp as the head of that organization. Next up to Aaron, what's the show where Albert Nobbs is Gloria Steinem's boss?
So I think Albert Nobbs is Glenn Close, and I think Gloria Steinem is Rose Byrne from the Cate Blanchett miniseries last year, so I think that's Damages.
Absolutely. Mrs. America, the title of that miniseries you're looking for. So, Aaron, what's the movie if Harrison Ford is Glenn Close's boss?
I think Glenn Close is the vice president in Air Force One.
And Harrison Ford's the president for another 10. Well done. Back to Bridget. What's the show where Axe Cop is Joy's boss?
Axe Cop is Joy's boss. Can I have a hint?
You could also ask, what's the show where Nick Offerman is Amy Poehler's boss?
Oh, okay. The show where Nick Offerman is Amy Poehler's boss is Parks and Rec.
Yes, Nick Offerman, the voice of Axe Cop, Amy Poehler voicing Joy in Pixar's Inside Out. So then, Bridget, what's the movie where Michael Keaton is Nick Offerman's boss?
The movie where... I don't know. Pass.
The movie about the founding of McDonald's, that's The Founder. Next to Seth, what's the show where Jasper Baden is Kumar Patel's boss?
I'm gonna go out on a guess here. I know Kumar Patel would be from Harold and Kumar, I assume. So I assume the first, I'm gonna guess House.
You had enough to get there. House is correct, with Hugh Laurie playing Jasper Baden in the 1996 101 Dalmatians. Seth, what's the movie then if Leonardo DiCaprio is Hugh Laurie's boss?
Leonardo DiCaprio movies, not sure. I'm going to guess Wolf of Wall Street.
Hugh Laurie in the Palace Guard in The Man in the Iron Mask, the answer there. But still 20 for House. To Aaron, What's the show where Rafiki is Will Gardner's boss?
Rafiki is Will Gardner's boss. Rafiki could be Robert Guillaume, and I don't remember who voiced him in the live action version of The Lion King. And then what was the other name? Will Gardner?
Will Gardner.
Will Gardner. Could I have a hint, please?
It's the show where Robert Guillaume is Josh Charles's boss.
Right, Josh Charles. Okay. I don't remember Josh Charles being on Benson. Was Robert Guillaume on The Good Wife?
Bridget knows this one.
Sports Night.
The early Aaron Sorkin show, yes. But still, for you, Aaron, what's the TV show if James Noble is Robert Guillaume's boss?
Is that Benson?
Yes, said it earlier, got there eventually. 10 more points for Benson. Back to Bridget. Bridget, what's the show where Monroe Fuchs is Troy McClure's boss?
I don't know who any of those people are. Can I have a hint, please?
It's the show where Stephen Root is Phil Hartman's boss.
Oh, would that be News Radio?
Yes, with Monroe Fuchs from Barry and Troy McClure from The Simpsons. For Bridget Still, what's the movie if Gary Cole is Stephen Root's boss?
I believe that's Office Space.
For 10 more. Back to Seth. What's the show where Jaime Escalante is Nash Bridges' boss?
All right, Nash Bridges is Don Johnson. Jaime Escalante, why am I like blanking on his name? But it's the guy from Battlestar Galactica. I don't think a hint's going to help me, so I will guess Miami Vice.
Got to get the movie and the show in the same episode. Yes, Miami Vice for 20. Edward James Olmos, the actor you're trying to pull from his role in Stand and Deliver as Jaime Escalante. Still for Seth, what's the TV show if Mary McDonnell is Edward James Olmos' boss?
So, like before, that's Battlestar Galactica.
Everyone's saying the follow-up answers before we even ask the follow-up. It's wild. And our last, before heading into the score break, this is for Aaron. What's the show where Oswald Cobblepot is Alan Epps' boss?
Well, I think Oswald Cobblepot is Penguin, which I'm going to guess is Danny DeVito. What was the other name?
Alan Epps.
Alan Epps. I don't have any idea who Alan Epps is, but I'm just going to say, because it's the only show I can think of where Danny DeVito is a boss, Taxi.
Yes, with Alan Epps being Judd Hirsch's character on Numthriers.
Correct pronunciation.
Always. Still, for Aaron, as a follow-up, what's the movie if Edward Norton is Danny DeVito's boss?
Edward Norton is Danny DeVito's boss. That's a very good question. And I have no idea, so I'm just going to say something that's obviously wrong, American History X.
It's a movie also directed by Danny DeVito, that is Death to Smoochie.
All right.
Well, that'll take us into our next update on the scores from Score Master Dan.
Boy, you can really tell this is a championship round. The scores almost could not be closer. Aaron is in third place with 95 points. Bridget has 100 points. Seth is in the lead. He has 105, 10 points separating wow. First from third right now.
Anything can still happen. Let's get back into round two with Bridget. What's the show if Christine Campbell is Veda Saltonfuss's boss?
Okay, so Veda Saltonfuss, I know, is Anna Klumsky, because that's my age, from My Girl. And then I'm going to assume Christine, I already forgot the last name, is from the New Adventures of Old Christine. So that's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. So that would be Veep.
All the pieces are there. Well done, Bridget. So what's the movie if Catherine Keener is employing Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
What would that movie be? Presumably one I should have seen. I don't know. Pass.
Aaron?
Is that enough said?
Yes, a movie you definitely should have seen. It's very good. Next to Seth. What's the show where Nicholas Brody is the adjudicator's boss?
Nicholas Brody sounds familiar, but I'm drawing a blank. I need a hint.
It's the show where Damian Lewis is Asia Kate Dillon's boss.
Is that Billions?
It is Billions. Nicholas Brody being Damian Lewis's character from Homeland and the adjudicator being from John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. Still for Seth, what's the show if Donald Logue is Damian Lewis's boss?
Can't think of, I mean, Donald Logue shows I can think of. Gotham, I don't think it's that. It's not Grounded for Life. I'm gonna guess Terriers?
Almost there with Grounded for Life, but this one is just called Life, where Damian Lewis is let out of jail. Next up to Aaron. What's the show where Carmen Lowell is Michael Ginsburg's boss?
I could get hints. I want to say that Michael Ginsburg is from Mad Men, although I can't think of the actor. Could I have a hint, please?
It's the show where America Ferrera is Ben Feldman's boss.
It's Superstore. I should have just guessed.
Yes, Carmen Lowell being from the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, and indeed Michael Ginsburg from Mad Men. So, Aaron, what's the TV show if Vanessa Williams is America Ferrera's boss?
That would be Ugly Betty.
For another 10. One more character-based boss relationship per player. This one is for Bridget. What's the show where J. Edgar Hoover is Danny Tripp's boss?
I don't know. Can I have a hint, please?
It's the show where Martin Sheen is Bradley Whitford's boss.
Okay. Well, that would be The West Wing.
Martin Sheen plays J. Edgar Hoover in Judas and the Black Messiah, and Danny Tripp comes from Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Still for Bridget, what's the movie if Robert Duvall is Martin Sheen's boss?
Apocalypse Now.
Correct. Using that military hierarchy. Next up to Seth. What is the show where President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho is Connor for Real's boss?
So it's Terry Crews, and then I think Connor for Real was from Popstar. So that would be Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Absolutely. With Idiocracy being the movie that Terry Crews character comes from. Still for Seth, what's the movie if Sylvester Stallone is Terry Crews' boss?
It has to be something relatively recently. Oh, it's Expendables.
The Expendables, as Terry Crews is one of the titular Expendables. Closing out round two with Aaron. What's the show where Alonzo Mosley is Raymond Holt's boss?
Well, Raymond Holt is also Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's Andre Brower. I have no idea who Alonzo Mosley is, but I'm trying to think Andre Brower, I feel like I should just guess Homicide, Life on the Street.
Nice guess. Good job not guessing Last Resort. But indeed, Alonzo Mosley is Yaphet Kotto's character from Midnight Run.
Agent Foster Grant.
And still for Aaron, what's the movie if Tom Skerritt is Yaphet Kotto's boss?
That would be Alien.
10 more points for Aaron. We'll finish up round two. Next, another score break from Dan and on to our final round in our fifth season finale. Before the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win fabulous prizes like the chance to name a score break right here on the show. Hit us with that riddle, Dan.
An interview / road trip taking several frigid days. One writer's condescension met with intermittent praise. While listening to REM, they'll probe into the past, but never quite discover why the jest was all so vast.
Think you know the answer? Then find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and show off that knowledge. Then learn the answer for real by following us on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter, where we post the solutions to these riddles every Monday afternoon. Then while you're still at our website, don't forget to go to usaquizshow.com/apply and put your name in the hat to play in a future season. We would love to have you on. Thanks for that riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Absolutely. Going to round three, it's time for the Christopher Plummer in Star Trek VI score break. Christopher Plummer in Star Trek VI. Who better to recite all the Shakespeare in the original Klingon? We could not have a closer game. Aaron and Seth are tied for lead with 145 points each. Bridget is in third place. She has 140 points, only 5 points behind. So she'll get to go first in round three.
You know, a lot of times I say it all comes down to the lightning round, and it's usually accurate, but it's never been more accurate than it is today because it all comes down to the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You will earn 10 points for each correct answer you provide. Today's categories are Cheers Noble, Her Version, Steven Universe, and I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too. Now, the topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or maybe keep something easy away from one of your fellow competitors. Bridget, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Cheers Noble, Her Version, Steven Universe, and I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too.
All right. Well, you're not going to get me with the I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too again after my last appearance. I'm still not choosing that category. I'm going to go with Cheers Noble.
You got a guess as to what's going on here?
I'm hoping it's some kind of unholy alliance between Cheers and Chernobyl.
It's an unholy alliance between Cheers and big cultural moments of the 1980s. So we're just going to do all about 80s sitcoms. 80s sitcoms here in your lightning round. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Bridget, are you ready?
Yes, let's do this.
Dorothy got married and moved to Atlanta in the finale of this series.
Golden Girls.
Alf never actually did this to Lucky the Cat, even after it died.
Eat him?
Dan Hedaya and Gene Kasem starred in this spinoff of Cheers.
Pass.
Alex, Mallory, and Jennifer are the kids on this sitcom.
Family Ties.
Leonardo DiCaprio moved in with this family on the last season of Growing Pains.
The Seavers.
Tony moves from Brooklyn to this state to be a housekeeper in Who's the Boss?
New Jersey.
Connecticut. Marky Post was a regular on this show starting in the third season.
Night Court.
The fate of the stars of Perfect Strangers was a plot point in this HBO drama.
Pass.
Vicky, the title character on this show, lives in a cabinet in Jamie's bedroom.
Small wonder.
The title butler of this sitcom has the seldom used first name, Lynn.
Benson?
Mr. Belvedere. In the cartoon version of this sitcom, the title character got a magical leprechaun gopher.
Pass.
Mama's Family was a spinoff of this sketch comedy show.
The Carol Burnett Show.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and then you have these.
The Facts of Life. The Facts of Life.
Facts of Life, right at the buzzer. Well done, Bridget. All right, Dan, let's hear the Bridget report.
Let's go over the passes. We have just three of them. Dan Hedaya and Gene Kasem starred in The Tortellis, the spinoff of Cheers. It was on The Leftovers that the characters talk about the fate of the stars of Perfect Strangers. In fact, they show up on the show. And the cartoon version of Punky Brewster had a magical leprechaun gopher. Bridget had 8 correct answers, bringing her a total of 220 points. Because everything is so close, Aaron's up next. He'll have to match that if he wants to move into first place.
All right, Aaron, let's see if you are up to the challenge. Your remaining categories are Her Version, Steven Universe, and I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too.
I don't know what any of them are. I will try Steven Universe.
You want to take a guess as to what's in store for you this round?
Steven Spielberg movies.
It's a Steven something. It is, in fact, a whole universe of Stevens. This is going to be all about actors and characters from pop culture named Steven.
All right.
90 seconds on the clock. Aaron, are you ready?
I sure am.
In the movie Rock of Ages, he played Stacy Jacks, a.k.a. Steven Jackson of Detroit, Michigan.
Tom Cruise.
He was 36 when he made his acting debut in 1988's Above the Law.
Steven Seagal.
Steve Stevens is the father of Shia LaBeouf and Christy Carlson Romano on this sitcom.
Holes.
Even Stevens. In addition to a storied film career, he produced Animaniacs and Tiny Toon Adventures.
Steven Spielberg.
Colin Farrell plays Stephen Murphy in this 2017 Yorgos Lanthimos movie.
The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
He created shows like Murder in the First, L.A. Law, and Cop Rock.
Pass.
Stephen Hill spent 10 years playing Adam Schiff on this NBC show.
Pass.
This What We Do in the Shadows actor also plays voice actor Stephen Toast.
Jimmy Clement?
Matt Berry. Steven Tyler is best known as the lead singer of this band.
Aerosmith.
Steven Van Zandt played Silvio Dante on this HBO series.
Sopranos.
He took over the role of Jack Torrance in the TV version of The Shining.
Steven Weber.
Steven Yeun voices a teen superhero on this gory Amazon show.
Pass.
He directed both The Girlfriend Experience and 20 episodes of The Nick.
Steven Soderbergh.
We are taking Steven Soderbergh at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Aaron report.
All right, once again, a great lightning round in just three passes. The creator of shows like Murder in the First, L.A. Law, and Cop Rock, most famously, is Stephen Bochco. Stephen Hill spent 10 years playing Adam Schiff on Law and Order. And the gory Amazon superhero show with Steven Yeun is Invincible. Aaron is very, very lucky that he got that last answer in just under the buzzer, because that was his eighth correct answer. He now has 225 points in the lead. Seth is going to have to get 8 correct questions in order to tie, and 9 in order to take the win.
Did you just say Stephen Bochco is best known for Cop Rock? Is that what I heard?
Absolutely.
Okay. Put it on the board.
All right, Seth, here we go. Your final two category choices are Her Version and I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too.
I guess I'm going to go with Her Version. Maybe romantic comedies?
Not exactly. Of course, Whose Version is being in parentheses across many highly streamed songs these days on the re-recordings of her album. That's Taylor's Version, referring to Taylor Swift. So this is all about the life and career of pop superstar Taylor Swift. 90 seconds on the clock. Seth, are you ready?
Sure.
This Grammy-winning album title is the year of Swift's birth.
1994.
1989. This Netflix documentary about Swift debuted at Sundance 2020.
Miss America?
Miss Americana. If Swift doesn't know about you, then she's feeling this age.
22.
She performed with this Fleetwood Mac member at the 2010 Grammy Awards.
Stevie Nicks.
She's cast along this fellow Taylor in 2010's Valentine's Day.
Taylor Lautner.
Swift's first single is named for this fellow country singer.
Tim McGraw.
She plays Bombalurina but sings this song in Cats.
Memory?
McCavity. She has co-written songs with this Billy Lynn's long halftime walk star.
Pass.
She topped this music service's charts selling 8 seconds of digital noise.
Spotify?
iTunes. She re-recorded Look What You Made Me Do for an episode of this BBC America show.
Pass.
Her album Folklore was produced by this The National member.
It's pass.
For Fearless, she became the youngest artist to win this Grammy Award.
Best pop vocal?
Album of the year. This band's Brandon Urie sings with Swift on Me.
Panic at the Disco.
We will take Panic at the Disco on the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Seth report and the final results.
Again, just three passes because our players apparently are conspiring with each other. The star of Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk is Joe Alwyn. Taylor Swift re-recorded Look What You Made Me Do for an episode of Killing Eve. And the member of The National that I think was right on the tip of his tongue is Aaron Dessner. That means that Seth got five correct answers. So our final standings are Seth with 195, Bridge with 220, and our winner with 225 points, it's Aaron!
Congratulations to Aaron, our fifth Super Mondo Champion of Champions. But that does mean we do need to say goodbye to Bridget and Seth. Amazing play throughout the entire season. We love a close, tight final episode, and you all absolutely delivered. This was a total joy, and thank you again so much for coming on this season. Bridget, is there anything you would like to plug for our listeners? Anything you'd like to point them towards?
Well, if you're okay with having a Great American Pop Culture quiz show loser as your doula or childbirth educator, you can find me online at my perinatal support business, doulacraft.com, and continue to support abortion access wherever you live, abortionfunds.org.
Thank you, Bridget. And Seth, before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to plug?
I just wanted to thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun. Just support your local public schools and support your teachers.
Agree there. Thank you, Seth. And our big winner today is Aaron. Aaron is now our big season champion. Congratulations again. As a prize, you get to force one piece of pop culture upon the world. What would you like to make everyone in the world sit down and watch, listen to, absorb?
As you said earlier, in a horror movie enthusiast, so I was like trying to make people watch something they probably wouldn't otherwise. So I'm going to say Takashi Miike's Audition, and just have everyone cuddle up under a blanket and watch that. David's already seen it, apparently.
I've already seen it, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Well, that's the rules. We all have to cuddle up under a blanket and watch it now. Well, thank you for sending us out with that, Aaron. Aaron, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Nothing to plug. I echo what Seth said. Thanks so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to come back next week as we take a break from regular season play for a special episode featuring three regular voices from the Incomparable Podcast Network. Joining us will be the Incomparable founder, Jason Snell, tech reporter and Jeopardy champ, Glenn Fleischman, along with our friend, season one finalist, Monty Ashley. Promises to be an absolute romp. Do not miss it. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thanks again for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Look at my meat shop and me, masking my illegal activity. Screw the dead rabbits, I'm in with Boss Tweed. There's violent joints in these 5 points, but throwing knives are all I need.